are familiar with the term or the acronym? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we can. It's always a good time to thank him. The term RSVP. Let me have a show of hands. RSVP. Now that's RSVP yes, and it's also RSVP no, just in case you didn't know. So about, it's maybe 10 or 12 years ago, we started to see save the date. You know, whenever someone was having an event, they would send out a save the date card. How many of you are familiar with that, save the date? And what this basically meant was, I'm having an event, I'm inviting you, and I want you to save that date so that you can come and be part of the event. Well, it was interesting, as I was doing my study, that I found that save the date didn't just come out 10 or 15 years ago. It didn't come out 20 or 50 years ago. It's not something that just happened to pop up. If you look at Luke 14, starting with verse 16, then said he unto him, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man made a great supper and invited many. Then he said to him, and sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord begin to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them and I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Now this parable shares some save the date practices. Verse 16 says that he made a great supper and bade many, meaning he was putting all the plans into this great supper. And let me backtrack a little bit. This is where I was saying save the date is not something new. But back in these days, basically, there would be 2 invitations sent. The save the date, and then the actual come, which we'll get to in a minute. So it's saying that he made a great supper and bade many. Now, as I read this, I begin to relate to it somewhat because we have functions at church. Some of you may have participated in these functions that we have, be it movie night, game night, barbecue, first worship. And we always have a sign-up sheet. Have you ever wondered, why do they have to have a sign-up sheet? Well, if you come out to movie night, we need to know how much pizza to buy based on how many people are going to attend. If you come out to first worship, we need to know how much finger food to have based on the number of people that are going to attend. And that's why we do the sign-up sheets. That's our RSVP. Let us know whether or not you're coming. And here, he sent out his save the dates because he has to make preparation. He needs to know how many people are going to come, how much food do I need to buy, how many decorations, what size room do I need to put things in. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So based on his save the date, and it doesn't specifically say that everybody agreed, but that's another thing. You know, now we get a save the date or RSVP, and we say, yeah, I'm going to be there, and then don't show up. And everybody goes on about their business. But back then, first off, one, you're not going to turn down an invitation. Because if somebody at that stature invited you to come out and be part of whatever the event is, you're going to go. Because that was just the culture of that day. So for them, the save the date carried a lot more weight than today's save the date. So he had put together all the preparations for this great banquet based on knowing that these people were going to come. And he sent out his servants to let them know, come now, for all things are now ready. Thank you, Jesus. This is what the Lord is telling us. Come now, for all things are already. The things that are already, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He walked this earth for 33 and a half years. He went to the cross. He bled, sacrificed himself. He died, was buried, Before he died, he said, it is finished. It is finished. He died, was buried, and resurrected. That tells us all things are now ready. The sacrifice has been paid. Our sin penalty was nailed to the cross with Jesus. And when we identify with Jesus and we realize that we were buried with him, we were risen with him, all things are now ready. We can partake of what God has for us in this life and the life to come. But verse 18 says, and they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now keep in mind, these banquets were normally held at dinner time. Hence, nighttime, darkness. So as we look at these next three verses, these excuses, I want you to keep in mind, the banquet was at nighttime, in the dark. And they all, with one consent, begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. So this first excuse deals with possessions. And we know how we are when it comes to our possessions, because it is mine. And I may or may not want to share it with you, but it is mine. And don't forget that. So here he has his possession, but then he's got to go see the parcel of land that he bought. Two things. Do you buy a piece of land and you haven't looked at it? Because if you do, I can find a piece that I'd like to sell you. Is it that his land was more important than going to the banquet, to participating in this great banquet that was set? And then, if he did buy the land and he didn't look at it, could it not wait until tomorrow? Was it going to upchuck and go someplace else? It would still be there. So basically what is happening is this excuse is coming in, but the excuse is not reasonable. I found this, and I thought this was really good. Old school man says, the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. That's what an excuse is. It's not because I can't. It's because I just don't want to. And when we look at our possessions, as God has blessed our lives with so many things, do we allow our possessions to stop us from having that relationship, that communion with our Lord and Savior? Because we just get too busy. We get too caught up. And we get caught up in the things that we have to do, the must-dos. You know, I must do this because it can't wait for another day. When in reality, it isn't that important. It can wait. We just choose not to make it wait or not to allow it to wait. We choose doing it above our relationship with the Lord. Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So if we would just put God first, everything else is going to fall into place. But yet, because we are humans, we tend to put other things above God. Verse 19 says, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, the oxen back then was the beast of burden. That's what they used for work. So this excuse is based on work. And how many times do we say, I can't make it to Bible class on Wednesday because, you know, whew, hump day, it's been a rough week, and I'm tired, and so I need to rest tonight instead of going to church. And this is after God has blessed you with the job that you have. And we still tend to put him back. Or we look at those 5 yoke of oxen. He has something new. And you know how it is when we get something new. Please, give me a new car. I'm at the car wash. I'm driving to the store just to drive to the store so I can be in my new car and everybody can see me. We get so caught up in the things in the natural that we forget about the banquet. We forget about our relationship. Colossians 3 and 2 tells us to set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. But it is so easy for us to get caught up in earthly possessions. I got a new house because I work so hard. And because I work so hard, they pay me good money, so I have a new house. Thank you, Jesus, for you having a new house. But don't sit up in your house and not come to church. Come to church. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. This deals with relationships. And I laughed when I read that because my first thought was, did you not know that you were getting married? Because back in those days, they didn't really elope unless they were Joseph and Mary. They had a long, drawn-out betrothal. And then they had a festival. I mean, the wedding was one of the biggest events that they had back then. So this just didn't happen yesterday that you learned that you were going to have a wife. And then, don't you think your wife might want a night out? Well, she would have been invited too. But they made an excuse. And sometimes we allow our human relationships to get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. Mark 12 and 30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. When you look at the excuses, and Jesus only gave three. But if you look at verse 18, and verse 18 says, and they all with one consent begin to make excuse. It doesn't say only three of them made excuses. It said all made excuses. And so, you know, we can giggle and we can laugh at these three excuses. The sad part is that's where we live our life, with an excuse. Doesn't matter what the excuse is, doesn't matter what the reason is, we live our life with excuses as to why we cannot do this, Lord. And this morning, I want to ask the question, what's your excuse? What is it that keeps you from having a relationship, a closer? Because I don't want anybody to think I'm saying that you don't have a relationship. A closer relationship with the Lord. And then when I say, what's your excuse? That falls back on me. What's my excuse? What do I use to keep from when God says, spend some time with me. Come to the Word. Lord, you know, I just started this new series. I'm only on episode 3, and you know there's 8 episodes in here. Can you just let me get through these last 5 episodes, and then I will spend some time with you? Somebody knows what I'm talking about up in here. Lord, I think I heard this morning. Next Sunday is the Super Bowl. Okay, maybe, I don't know. I thought I heard that this morning, but I don't know. Whatever Sunday. It's the Super Bowl, Lord. Truly, you don't expect me to go to church today. Although they did start putting the Super Bowl on in the evening, probably because it was interrupting church years ago. But you know, I can't go even though Super Bowl's in the evening, because you know, I got to plan my party. Because my peeps be coming over. And we going to be watching it. And I need time to get all my Super Bowl food stuff ready. But we make these same flimsy excuses. And all the time, the Lord is just saying, I just want to spend some time. I want to get to know you a little bit better. Not that he doesn't know us better. But I want you to get to know me a little bit better. You know, we make excuses because we have friends or family in town. Well, you know what that means, right? I can't go to church because I got friends and family in town. What I would say is pack friends and family up and bring them to church with you when you come. Or this is really a good one. Right now, we're going into tax time. For some of us, it's a good thing because we know we're getting a refund. But for some of us, it's not such a good thing. And I'd say go look back at your finances and get it so next year you need a refund. And you end up paying. So, Lord, you know my heart. You know my heart, right, Lord? If I had it to give, Lord, I would give. I would support the ministry. But I've got to pay my taxes. So maybe next year. Kind of quiet. I did take the offering before I started preaching, right? Okay, so I don't want anybody to think I'm just trying to get you money. No, I'm trying to get you to a place where you understand your relationship with the Lord. You know, it's a lot of times we think just come in the church. Oh, help me, Jesus. Just coming to church is enough. I'll go to church, but I'm going to leave my checkbook at home. I'm going to leave my wallet at home. I'm going to leave my debit card at home. I'm going to leave my purse at home. No. Support the ministry. And as I said earlier, we appreciate all those that support the ministry. And I just got to look at the webcast because we have people out there who support this ministry that have never been inside these four walls. And we appreciate you. But we make excuses. We make excuses as to why we're unable to do certain things. But he said all things are ready. You know, we have to understand our relationship with the Lord. Our excuses keep us from making that full-fledged commitment. And we have to get to the place to where we make that full-fledged commitment. It's not about just making a profession. Because we can make a profession of something that we do not possess. And I don't know, but I think you can check the books and you'll see that nobody made it into heaven because they were professing faith. But they made it into heaven because they possess faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So having a profession is not the same as having possession of it. Because James tells us that thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So you can profess it, but not possess it. Now, if you go down to verse 24, as I close, it says, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And I wanted to go down to that one because when you read the parable, Jesus starts out speaking in the third person. A man prepared a great banquet. But when you get down here to verse 24, he says that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So he went from the man preparing the banquet to my supper. And I think everyone that is watching me at this point, you want to partake of his supper. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be in his presence at this time. But we have to quit making excuses. It's time for the excuses to play out. It's time for us to realize that we have to put him on a higher priority than anything else in our life. Be it job, house, car, spouse, kids, doesn't matter. All of them play second fiddle when it comes to the Lord. And we have to be able to live our life with the thought that everything else plays second fiddle to the Lord. Now there's a banquet coming. And it's going to be the banquet of all banquets. However, this banquet, the best attraction is not the food. The best attraction is Jesus Christ. And the question is, do you want to partake of that banquet? We've made all kind of excuses all the time that we've been down here, and you know, we're going to live with them. But going forward, I'm not saying we're not going to make any more excuses, but going forward, can we make fewer? Can we make less excuses and make him a higher priority? Because if we don't, we're going to miss out on this banquet. And so I just want to encourage everybody, whatever it is that you have been doing, continue doing it, but do more. Do more. Do whatever it is that you are able to grab a hold to Jesus Christ. Hold on and don't let go. Hold on and cry out and say, Lord, I want to get a little bit closer to you. Hold on and let him know, Lord, you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I want you to be the number one priority in my life. I don't want anything else above you. What's your excuse? What is keeping you from getting closer to the Lord? Whatever it is, I can tell you, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not that it's not important. And when you look at those three excuses, none of them were sin. None of them were illegal. None of them were wrong. They just didn't put the priorities right. And we have to get our priorities right. Is that okay? Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Most holy and righteous Father, Lord, we just praise and magnify you. We thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house. And God, I just ask that you help us, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, to set our affections on things above. Help us, Father, to have no other God. Make you first, our first priority, to love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. Lord, help us to continue to seek you, to forever get our priorities straight. Lord, because we realize that without you, we have nothing. But it's with you that all things are possible. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in your holy name. Amen.
Amen, amen. As always, that was a timely word because we all make excuses, whether it's family, job, or just plain old being lazy. But as you guys know, now is not the time to be lazy or make excuses. Now is the time to press in and be all that God has called you to be. Amen. All right, as mentioned, this Friday at 10 p.m., we are going to be meeting in here for our Ignite prayer. So from 10 p.m. to midnight, please come out, join Preston. We are trying to grow in the place of prayer as a church. So please, please, please come. If you don't speak in tongues and you want to speak in tongues, which you should, come out. Let's pray for you. And just really, let's just press in it and grow in the place of the Spirit. Also, if you haven't given, of course, now is the time to do so. There are several ways to give, as you guys know, so I'm not going to list all those ways out, but there is also a new giving screen. So if you scan the QR code, it will take you there. On this Wednesday, there is no Bible class, so feel free to enjoy your Wednesday. And the following Wednesday is our laity service. So no Bible class this Wednesday. Next Wednesday is laity. And then the following Wednesday, we start a whole new Bible study. So, amen. All right. If you please rise, let me pray and dismiss us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you because all things have been made ready. You have given us your best in your Son. You have made the supper. You have prepped it. You have done all the work, Father. All we have to do is just have a hunger to come and eat. So, Father, right now, I just ask that you increase our hunger, Lord. Help us to be hungry for the things that you have set before us, Lord. Help us not to be hungry for the world. Help us to see you as our source, Lord. And help us to just simply say yes to all that you have called us to be and to do, Lord. Help us not to quit this year, Lord. Help us to press in, Lord, whether it's fasting, whether it's praying, or just reading our word, Lord. Help us to do those simple things that you've called us to do. Father, we just thank you for this time that we got to worship and to hear your word. We thank you, Lord. Help us not to forget what we've heard, but to actually practice it, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty, holy, precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. See you guys next Friday at prayer.